This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on community and independent radio stations nationwide. Montana's Governor Greg Gianforte signed a bill banning gender-affirming treatment for minors this week, just days after Republicans in the state legislature censured Representative Zoe Zephyr, the first and only openly transgender state lawmaker, for speaking out against the bill. Gianforte signed the bill even though his own son, who is non-binary, pleaded with his father to veto it. Meanwhile, Ms. Zephyr has filed a lawsuit against her censure. She was silenced from speaking against the bill after she accused her fellow lawmakers of having blood on their hands in passing anti-transgender bills. Here is Zoe Zephyr shortly before she was barred from speaking on the House floor.
I spoke on the governor's amendments to Senate Bill 99, which banned gender-affirming care. This was a bill that was one of many targeting the LGBTQ community in Montana. This legislature has systematically attacked that community. We have seen bills targeting our art forms, our books, our history, and our health care. And I rose up in defense of my community that day, speaking to harms that these bills bring and that I have firsthand experience knowing about. I have had friends who have taken their lives because of these bills. I have fielded calls from families in Montana, including one family whose trans teenager attempted to take her life while watching a hearing on one of the anti-trans bills. And in that hearing, our caucus pleaded with the Republican chair of the Judiciary Committee to not allow certain testimony, to keep decorum. And we were told a lot of people have a lot of opinions on these things. So when I rose up and said, there is blood on your hands, I was not being hyperbolic. I was speaking to the real consequences of the votes that we as legislators take in this body.
That's Zoe Zephyr, Montana's first transgender lawmaker who is suing over being barred from speaking on the House floor against a newly passed bill banning gender-affirming care for minors. We turn now to Keegan Medrano, policy director at the ACLU of Montana. Welcome to the program, Keegan.
Thank you for having me.
So there's two related and overlapping issues. One is, of course, the bill itself, and the other is the censure of Zoe Zephyr. Let's start with the bill. This is a bill that Ms. Zephyr was speaking out against. And Montana now joins, about a dozen other states in banning gender-affirming care. What exactly would SB 99 do once it takes effect?
Definitely. So SB 99 will take effect in October 1st of this year. And it's an expansive bill which provides prohibitions for gender-affirming care for minors. So that includes things like puberty blockers, while also including different sort of surgeries. What I think is unique about this Montana bill is that it also provides for social transitioning, which is a sort of phrase, and it says in the bill that individuals in our K-12 schools are not permitted to sort of endorse or compel gender-affirming care by acknowledging people's pronouns and mentioning the sorts of opportunities for care that, of course, are now prohibited once October 1st occurs. Unlike some of the bills that we're seeing in other states, there are no criminal penalties, but there are quite steep civil penalties for healthcare providers and insurance companies. And so, again, it's a quite expansive effort to impact and create prohibitions around gender-affirming care.
So how does it compare to other states? It sounds as though Montana's bill goes really far. Is it one of the more extreme ones or in line with what we're seeing elsewhere in the country?
Again, I think SB 99 definitely strives to balance what we're seeing as a sort of national movement on gender-affirming care bans, while not including that criminal prohibition or criminal penalties that we've been seeing in some of the other states. And so I think that the way that the bill was sort of presented and packaged was that it was about protecting youth. And I think that that's a really important way to think about the way that this issue has been framed and talked about in Montana. You know, a lot of us pride ourselves on this sort of like live and let live idea of our state. And I think that, you know, a lot of people would see this as a government effort to provide prohibitions on medically approved care. And so you might say that that is sort of misaligned with this idea of like live and let live. But I think what's important is to dig deeper and to find that nuance where you'll see that Republicans view this issue, that there are national media, that there's social media, and that there are corporations that are sort of indoctrinating children, turning them trans or turning them queer. And so when you start to understand that framing, you see how this issue is aligned with this idea of live and let live from their perspective, because they view it as they're actually protecting and saving children. And I think that that's reflected in the bill and how it's written.
What position does the ACLU take on this bill?
Definitely. So the ACLU of Montana, as well as our other sibling affiliates across the country, have broadly opposed bills. You know, there are various issues, whether it's due process, equal protection, and again, in SB 99 and here in Montana, there's also some free speech concerns with the bill. And so we see this as both politically motivated while also misaligned with the U.S. Constitution, but also Montana's Constitution, which has lots of robust protections around privacy, equal protection, due process, and free speech. And so we oppose this bill vehemently and see it as, again, part of this national effort while also reflecting some of the blending that occurs within Montana and the Montana politics and the history of Montana. And so, again, we've opposed this bill throughout the legislative process, and our legal team is poised to respond accordingly now that the bill has actually been signed.
You were mentioning that it's being seen, at least by Republicans, as allowing children to not feel the pressure of, I don't know, whatever they might want to see it as, radical left culture, et cetera, et cetera. However, it also seems as though this has just become a political football. David Gianforte, Greg Gianforte's son, told the Montana Free Press that the reason his father is signing this bill is not necessarily because he believes it's important, but because he's, quote, concerned about his career and aware that being able to stay in the position of governor is dependent on him staying in the favor of the Republican Party. The New York Times a few weeks ago also sort of outlined how Republican operatives have basically been throwing everything they can at the wall to see what sticks in terms of motivating their voters to the polls. And looks like sort of, you know, transgender kids are this, and denying care to them is the issue that has stuck. But Zoe Zephyr accused Republicans of having blood on their hands because she's saying that she's seen the impact it has on the mental health of transgender kids in particular, many of whom contemplate suicide, some of whom carry it through when they see legislators, you know, basically thinking very little of their own lives. So do you think this has just become a political football and it's not really about protecting kids?
I think absolutely. And I think one of the ways to understand this is to think about the political rhetoric that we saw on the right and the far right when it comes to social issues during the 1990s and 10s and so forth, where you know, gay marriage and gay rights were seen as one of those polarizing social issues. And I think that once we saw the Supreme Court decision and we saw public opinion shift dramatically on this issue, Republicans and those who are committed to the far right agenda understood that they had frankly lost on that issue, that this country and our society broadly, while there still remains deeply embedded homophobia, that we had moved on this issue. And so Republicans in the far right had to identify the next social issue, which animated their base and provided that sort of red meat for them. And what they found was trans kids, queer kids, and they made them the center of their political agenda. And I find it really disingenuous. You know, we've heard a lot of arguments here in Montana where it's just like, you know, this is just a minor's ban. You know, we don't care about adults. Just let these kids grow up. They'll become less confused, and then everything will work itself out. And I find that really difficult to believe because SB 99 is an egregious bill, but it's not the only bill that we've seen that targets trans and queer kids. We had another called HB 361, which targeted pronouns and sort of like dead naming and misgendering. And basically what it did was that it created a carve out so that people would not face, students, teachers, and staff would not face penalties or punishment if they engaged in dead naming and misgendering. And so it's really difficult to buy this argument that we should just let these kids grow up and they'll figure these things out when there's all these other policies that we're seeing, which is actually saying, you know what, you don't get to pick your own pronouns. You don't get to pick your own name. And also you don't get medically approved care. And so it's truly a full-on onslaught. And I think that you see that when you view any of the hearings, you'll see hours of opponent testimony from queer families, Montana families, who are saying, this is horrifying, this is scary. We have to think about if we're going to leave the state, we have to think about how we're going to stay safe in this state. And ultimately, those families, our queer community, our trans community, is at the center of their current political agenda, and they're doing everything they can to make elections and everything else about us.
Keegan, let's talk about Zoe Zephyr. She became the first transgender lawmaker in the state of Montana, really making history. She was there representing her community. Let's go through what happened to her. She was attempting to speak out about the bill and was basically silenced by the GOP lawmakers, her fellow lawmakers in the legislature. And then there were basically protesters demanding that she be allowed to speak. So let's go through, how do you summarize why she is barred from speaking in the House where she was elected to represent Montanans?
Absolutely. So Representative Zoe Zephyr has been a forceful, insightful advocate and speaker on a multitude of issues, not only facing the trans and queer community, but also for individuals who are renters in Montana. She also spoke out about the many issues, both constitutional and technical issues of the TikTok ban that we have here in Montana. And so what happened was, is that I think, honestly, this is a culmination of the sort of like anger, disdain, and fear that those of us who are queer and trans in this community have faced for the better part of 86 days. You know, we've heard, and I've heard jokes or things that masquerade as jokes. We've heard questions in committee, we've seen policy introduced, and we've seen debate on the floor and in committees, which is frankly some of the most heinous and reprehensible things that I've ever heard. And these are all in the public, all for people to, or many of it's in the public and for people to hear. And so decorum policing and tone policing is something that's been quite normalized and is seen a lot in these buildings and in this hall. It's something that I've faced. I was targeted for a committee hearing on SB 99 where I said that, you know, we would protect our community and oppose this bill by any means necessary. There was actually a formal review and analysis of my testimony for what they said was, quote, targeted and threatening language. And so the representative has been forceful, clear and concise about her arguments, and has faced pushback throughout the session. I think what we saw last week, when she mentioned that people who voted in support of SB 99 would have blood on their hands, is both the real felt fear of the community and also what the data tells us, which is that suicidality is present in our communities because of the rhetoric, because of the policy, and that the more that we hear these horrible things, the more that suicidality increases. And this is a phrase, this sort of blood on your hands, is not unique to politics and unique to American politics. You can review any sort of state legislative body and even the federal level and see a similar language, if not the same language. And so what I see this as is really, they looked for an excuse and they found the one that they needed. And they would have probably acted in that way, depending on any language that she had used, because they were looking for any reason to get rid of her because they're afraid of her. And they cannot face the reality of the decision and what they're doing. So that's what happened last week on Monday. And then there was, of course, the protests. Individuals came out, many of them Missoulians, many of them from her community, and engaged in civil disobedience. And that's a hallmark and a cornerstone of our society and of our country. And that, you know, further agitated and motivated Republicans to act in the way that they did, and to further bar for her from the chamber, the ante room, and they even tried to bar her from the hallway where she is now set up and voting.
So she hasn't been unseated. She's just been barred from being present on the floor of the House. Although it's not the same issue, it does remind one of the way in which the Tennessee Three were treated just a few weeks ago. And the House of Representatives, Republicans in the House of Representatives in Tennessee, removed Justin Jones and Justin Pearson, two young Black lawmakers, for speaking out against a gun control, for speaking out in favor of a gun control bill after a mass shooting in Nashville. They removed them from that chamber altogether, although they were then reinstated by the City Council of Nashville and the Shelby County Commission. But this, and in this case, we see, you know, similarly, a person who is seen as similarly offensive to Republican sensibilities, who is an out transgender woman, speaking out very eloquently, forcefully, powerfully, representing her community. And so it seems to be the sort of new way that Republican-dominated state legislatures, because GOP does dominate state legislatures, and so they have the power to do so. They do it by, of course, gerrymandering and other forms of cheating, but it seems to be the new tactic now. If we don't like what you say, we're just going to kick you out. So much for free speech. So Zoe Zephyr has sued, and I understand that the ACLU is also suing over SB 99. Tell me what's next now in terms of where Montana is on basically the right of transgender people, adults and kids, to be full human beings.
Yeah, so the ACLU of Montana is co-litigants looking to reinstate access for Representative Zephyr. We're representing the constituents who we feel have been silenced. Representative Zephyr has a district of approximately 11,000 individuals in Missoula. And so we are, again, advocating for the constituents. We have co-litigants who are speaking and representing the representative more specifically. And we're advocating on multiple constitutional grounds and existing case law that protects, we believe, Representative Zephyr's access to the chamber, the ante room, but also her constituents' voice. So we're looking for a temporary restraining order, and we look to have that. Honestly, I've been checking my phone every moment to see when we're going to get that. When it comes to SB 99, the ACLU National and Lambda Legal are also collaborating with us as we prepare our litigation on that issue. And so we'll be going through court proceedings here momentarily. We're also tracking a slew of other bills, which again target trans and queer folks, namely SB 458. Which is a bill that seeks to define law, or sex rather, in Montana law. And this actually impacts 40 different sections of code, and it's this giant, expansive bill. And it's completely you know, unscientific and misaligned with the Bostock Supreme Court decision. And so we'll be, you know, assessing our options and pursuing potential legal relief on that issue. Ultimately, though, I think you know, our role as an organization, I've been in this building now for the better part of, you know, 85, 86 days. Our sessions are approximately 90 days. My role has been giving a voice to the community, protecting families and kids, and also sharing, you know, my story. I'm a queer person, Indigenous person, and so, you know, my experience with suicidality, my experience with being queer, has been central to my advocacy. I'm grateful for our legal team, but also we have to show up for our community. Like I said earlier, there are individuals who are, you know, planning to move out of state, planning to move within the state to safer communities. And they're looking for that level of safety and of community. And that's the most important thing that we can provide for individuals. Mm-hmm. Because at the end of the day, queer and trans folks have lived in this state forever and will continue to live in this state. And they can strive to legislate us out of existence. But ultimately, we will continue to exist. We will continue to be a part of Montana because we are Montana.
And finally, Keegan, it just seems to me so remarkable that we have come to a place culturally in the United States where LGBTQ advocates and their allies spent, you know, years creating a culture of acceptance to the point where now many parents of LGBTQ youth want to do right by their children. Quite different from just even a few decades ago, right? And now there are parents who want to ensure that their children's mental and physical health is protected and just do right by their own kids. And they're facing opposition from the state, from lawmakers who have for a long time claimed that the government should stay out of people's personal business. And here's the government interfering in people's personal business in the face of parents, many of them remarkably trying to do the right thing, right? I mean, and that's just, that's a tragedy.
Truly. I think, you know, being in Montana and attending our Pride events, and we have a series of Pride events, but we have one in Helena. And I remember attending and seeing, you know, what would in our society, we would see a sort of like middle-aged white man and maybe think he has a certain political belief system or a certain view on gay and trans folks out there supporting, you know, his little trans kid. That's beautiful. And that's the world that I think that we'll continue to strive to create. You know, I think unfortunately we hear arguments from Republicans and those in the far right around parental rights and around small government. And yet here we have SB 99 and a series of other bills, which is a dramatic expansion of the government intervening in private medical care decisions and impairing the parental rights of families and of communities here in Montana. I can see no graver affront to our Constitution and to the values that we espouse as a state than these bills that we are seeing. And I think that it's a scary time. And I think that it's a time for our community, our queer and our trans folks to come together and really protect ourselves and each other. Because unfortunately, I don't know if this is going away anytime soon. And all we can continue to do is advocate within our institutions while also seeking to create community and a new world. And build that for our young folks who just want to find themselves, just want to grow up, and don't really care about pronouns, don't really care about the clothes that they wear. They just want to be comfortable. They just want to be happy. And ultimately, they just want to thrive in this world.
Keegan, thank you so much for joining us. Give out a website for ACLU of Montana.
Yeah, ACLUofMontana.org is a great website, and also all of our social media accounts are similarly titled ACLU of Montana. It's a great way to keep up on our bills that we're advocating and opposing, community events, and ongoing litigation.
We'll post a link to that from our website. Thank you so much, Keegan, for joining us. Good luck to you.
Thank you so much.
My guest has been Keegan Medrano, who is the policy director at the ACLU of Montana. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. You can access this and other interviews on our website, risingupwithsonali.com, by becoming a subscriber. Find our audio podcast on iTunes and Spotify, and follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at RU with Sonali.